From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
I'm Alex Cohen. Stem cell research holds the promise to cure diseases such as diabetes, Parkinson's, and Alzheimer's. But there have been serious ethical concerns about using stem cells derived from human embryos.
Those concerns have slowed scientific research. Today, though, a revolutionary breakthrough. Two independent teams of scientists say they can make stem cells from ordinary cells, such as skin cells, and so no need for human embryos. Joining me now to discuss the new findings is NPR science correspondent Joe Palca. And Joe, who are these scientists, and they came up with the same conclusion independently?
Pretty close. Shinya Yamanaka is from Kyoto University in Japan, and he had been working with this same procedure, but he was using mouse cells. And actually, about 18 months ago or so, maybe a little less, he announced his initial results at a scientific meeting, and then he announced further results earlier this year, and everybody was very excited. The other team was a guy named Jamie Thompson, who's at the University of Wisconsin. And the curious thing about Thompson is he's the guy in 1998 who first identified human embryonic stem cells. So this is like a bookend to his career. It's 10 years later, and he's come up with this really interesting approach to making cells that are, for all intents and purposes, embryonic stem cells, but you don't get them from embryos.
So you can get them anywhere, from skin, from anywhere in the body?
Well, the presumption is that with these four genetic factors, you can transform basically any cell that you like, skin or what have you, into a cell that behaves just like an embryonic stem cell.
So, obviously, this would have big advantages, at least ethically, right? Because it obviates that whole debate over whether it's okay to use human embryos.
Of course, that's one part of it. And the other part of it is that, you know, skin cells are plentiful. There's lots of them on all of us. And the other part of it is that when people started with embryonic stem cells from discarded embryos, it meant that they had to take a sort of genetic hodgepodge. I mean, a lot of times the embryos were donated anonymously, and so they didn't know what kind of genetic background they were coming from. But if you're starting with your own cell, they're you. I mean, they're Madeline Brand cells, you know, and any stem cells from them will be Madeline Brand stem cells.
So the idea being, and let's just rewind a little bit and explain how this works. The idea being, if I took a skin cell and reprogrammed it into a stem cell, it could then be used and put into the diseased tissue.
Right. That's how they drew it up on the chalkboard or the whiteboard, and that's how it's supposed to work. But it's important, and we have to make the point here, that none of these therapies that should work that way have actually been shown to actually work that way. I mean, there's many steps that are involved in getting the right kind of cell at the right time in the right place. And so the therapies say, well, if, you know, the heart cells are broken, why don't we just put in new heart cells or, you know, brain cells in the case of Alzheimer's, whatever. It's not that simple. But it's a very compelling idea that if you've got a single cell that's damaged and you've got an unlimited supply of replacement cells, well, maybe there's a way to get them in there and let them do their thing.
Joe, are there any disadvantages to this process?
Well, right now, yes. The way that these four factors are inserted into cells requires viruses and retroviruses, and those by themselves can be dangerous. And in the case, at least, of Yamanaka, one of the factors he's using to get these cells to transform or reprogram is itself a cancer-causing gene. So these sounds like big problems, but the scientists involved seem to think that these are problems they can work out and figure out a way around. So they are definitely problems in the short run. This is not 100% perfect yet.
And so, Joe, we are not quite ready then to abandon all embryonic stem cell research?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it seems like that's where the field is heading. From the people I've talked to, the long-term prospect of this new approach is people consider to be fantastic. But in the short run, you know, there's been a decade of experience with human embryonic stem cells, and people want to find out how these new cells are the same and whether there are any differences, and, as I say, get rid of some of these transforming factors that right now could be potentially dangerous. But people think these cells will become very important in the long run.
NPR science correspondent Joe Palca, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
So this research seems to answer many of the ethical problems that people have had with stem cell research. No embryo destruction, no problem, right? Well, here's how President Bush put it 2 years ago.
With the right policies and the right techniques, we can pursue scientific progress while still fulfilling our moral duties.
Yuval Levin has served as the president's advisor on stem cell issues. He's now a bioethicist with the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington, D.C. I asked him to describe the implications of these new findings.
What it means for the stem cell debate is really, I think, going to be just transformative over time. It means that neither side of that debate really has to lose this fight. What you can have is a kind of win-win outcome where the scientists can get the cells that they believe are so important, and where people who are concerned about the ethics of using human embryos in research don't have to worry about it, since this doesn't involve that.
You're very familiar with this debate. I'm curious if there are any other factions out there who, even with the embryo question aside, might still oppose any kind of stem cells in any sense, you know, thinking that it's not organic or manipulation of humans in general. Are there going to be those people out there that still say, we don't think this is right?
You know, I really just don't think so. The problems that people have had with embryonic stem cells and with human cloning, which also bears on this debate, have been really about the use of human embryos on the one hand, or the creation of life, the creation of embryos, especially through cloning, on the other. This research just doesn't involve either. And from the point of view of the people who have worried so much about the ethics for the past few years, this really does seem to be a solution.
You worked for the president in 2005 and 2006 as his advisor on stem cell research. How do you think he might receive this news?
Well, I think he'll receive it very gladly. The president has been very interested in the possibility of these kinds of alternatives. I would say since the spring of 2005, when his bioethics council produced a report called Alternative Sources of Pluripotent Stem Cells, I worked for him then, as you mentioned, and in presenting that report to him and briefing him on it, his response was just, if it could be possible to have the ends that the scientists say we need and at the same time not have the ethical problems, that's the solution, and that's what we ought to support. And so this is something that he's been hoping for a long time could work. Now, it's important to understand the president's policy, of course, is based on ethics more than on science. It's based on his view that taxpayer dollars shouldn't be supporting the destruction of embryos for research. It's not as though he knew this could work, but at the same time, his policy always had in it the kind of seed of hope that if you help science advance without crossing that boundary, it might advance in ways that would help people see a way around the problem. And that's what's happened here. You know, the achievement today is not the president's achievement. It's the achievement of these scientists who have been working on this for their own reasons and for reasons of scientific efficiency and not so much of ethical concerns. But certainly it shows that if you stand firm on an ethical basis in public policy, it is possible for science and ethics to advance together and not necessarily to be opposed to one another. Because science is flexible, ethics sometimes has to be firm.
What about all of the scientists who are out there who have been working for years on embryonic stem cell research? Here in California, they've just committed, I think, approximately $45 million to embryonic stem cell research. So what's going to happen to that line of work?
Yeah. Well, you know, these scientists are doing what they're doing because they want to help people who are sick. And this is a way to do that. This doesn't negate their work. It doesn't mean it's not important. This wouldn't have been possible, for one thing, if not for the work being done on stem cell research in the past, really, 9 years since 1998. And so I think this offers them a new avenue to explore and one that involves a lot less political and ethical trouble. I think most of them will jump at it and will welcome it. Now, in California, there may actually be a particular kind of problem because the referendum that passed there in 2004 that put a lot of public dollars into stem cell research actually says that those dollars have to be prioritized for research that can't be funded by the federal government. Now, this advance can be funded. In fact, it was. One of the two papers published today was actually supported by the NIH. And so there's a question now as to whether the California initiative can actually help California scientists do this work. I think they'll find a solution for that, but in the short term, it's an odd sort of question for them to have to worry about.
Yuval Levin is a bioethicist and a fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington, D.C. Thank you so much.
Thank you.